Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Revelation chapter 5, reading from the New International Version. A message I've entitled Divine Partnership. And if I could somehow communicate this the way that I heard it, we're going to really have church. Are you ready? Then I saw the Lamb. I saw a Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took a scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, "Worthy," read this with me, "worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." When I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne, go ahead, read it with me, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done already. Moments now that remain in the service. May you have full sway. We yield to you. Again, we say yes. I release myself from having to fill in all the blanks. And I pray, say exactly what you want to say, exactly how you say it. Use these lips of clay once again, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we'll forever give you praise. Go ahead and give him praise right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. While you're being seated, turn to Revelation 8. Revelation chapter 8, go to verse 3. And we'll read through verse 5, New International Version yet again. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar in the front of the throne. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire. With what? With fire from the altar, and he hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. The book of Revelation to me used to be just a really unusual book. Could I have a copy of the notes, please? Used to be just a really unusual book, and as I'm beginning to grow up in the Lord, I'm more moved when I read the book of Revelation. And there's a special blessing, it says, in Revelation for reading and studying the book of Revelation. For reading the book of Revelation, you get a special revelation blessing. Come on, lift a hand and say, "I'm taking that right now." What is that? I'm not sure, but I want everything that God has for me. Last week, God did something unique, and it kind of reverberated even into tonight. Do you look at this, these passages, you'll see this altar and the altar of incense. You see this picture really of like the tabernacle or the temple. The Old Testament, you see Moses receives a pattern for building the place that they would meet with God. Moses gets this pattern up on the mountain, and the Lord says, build it as you were instructed, as you saw, build it like that. And if, of course, it's first a tabernacle, then later it becomes a temple. The temple, the tabernacle, is where the holiness of God would meet the sinfulness of mankind, and through a prescribed way, God would come and abide. God would come upon his people and bless them. He always desired to be with us, but Adam and Eve blew it. And all of that is types and shadows. There is in the temple, as was in the temple, there is in the tabernacle, there is this place called the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And depending upon what year you're talking about, there's different things that are in the Ark of the Covenant. The stone tablets of the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron that budded, golden manna. It's representative of God's glory, and that it's that which is in the earth, but it's all a replica. Everybody say it's a replica of that which is in heaven. And you can read Hebrews later to see that. Between these two angels' wings is what's called the mercy seat. The covering on top of the ark is this place called the mercy seat. And it is said that the Shekinah glory of God, like a blue flame, burns between these two. Once a year, the high priest could go on the Day of Atonement and offer sacrifice, very prescribed way. We've talked about it before, one time a year. And he had to do it right, otherwise he would be killed. If you were to come out of the Holy of Holies, there's this temple curtain that says, they say, is as thick as my hand. I don't mean this way, I mean this way. A very thick curtain. And it separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Just outside the Holy of Holies. Everybody say, just outside the Holy of Holies. Is this altar of incense. Would you clear that thing off and just throw it up here, that whole table? Because that's like almost exactly the size of it. Here, just put it right here if you can. Look at those muscles. You must weightlift. This is like a picture. I don't know about the height, but it's about 1 by 5 by 1 by 5. It's an altar of incense. And they would burn incense on that. And when we read Revelation, it's so profound because that's what's happening in heaven. You know what's fascinating about Revelation, and you begin to piece together the tabernacle of heaven, that there's no altar of sacrifice. You know why? Because Jesus already did it. Come on, somebody say amen. Incense was burned in the morning, was burned at night. It was considered one of the highest honors that a priest could have, is to burn incense. You can see in the book of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, you'll see how Zechariah is chosen to burn incense, something a priest would do maybe once in his lifetime. I'm still in the intro, so we'll look at the text here in just a moment for all of you note takers. Fascinating thing, if you read the Talmud is a record of rabbinic, basically, debates in the 2nd and 5th century. There's this particular family that made the incense. In other words, the job of that family was to make the incense, and no other family could make it. And they guarded the secret. They said it was a sacred thing that God had given them, and the incense would burn straight up in a column, straight up. It is one of the mysteries of the temple and tabernacle, is if you were to light incense right now, I mean, there's wind going through, there's air handlers here, right? But I mean, even when you're outside, the incense always went straight up to heaven. It is one of the signs and wonders of the temple. Josephus writes about it, the historian. And this particular family, they're the ones that made it. So the tabernacle, the temple are all really physical pictures of spiritual realities. And I'm going to say it this way. I'm an introduction. I'm going to say it this way. The Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament. All right, you guys have been paying attention all the years. The Old Testament is a picture book of New Testament reality. Colossians 2 and 16, therefore let no one judge you by what you eat or drink with regard to a feast, a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the body that cast it belongs to Christ. Hebrews 10 and 1, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifice, be repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Talking about the sacrificials. Don't let me lose you. Come on, bump your neighbor. Hang in there. I need to set this up, because otherwise I'm just sort of throwing out thoughts that will not move you. This is very important intro. It's talking here in Hebrews about the sacrificial system. We get a glimpse into the reality of the completed sacrificial system when you read the book of Revelation. That which Moses saw on the mountain, he endeavored to bring with the express measurements. You can go study it. There's exact measurements on how to build this house that God would come and meet man in, and they would sacrifice blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. All of it is a model. When we were building this building, we had architectural plans and we had a model. We are not in the model, we're in the building. There is that which is in heaven. It's not the model, it's not the temple, it's not the tabernacle. It is the spot, it is the Holy of Holies, it is the place. That's why it's so profound that when Jesus died on that Good Friday, the temple curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying that man didn't do it, because man couldn't get to the top of that thing without, you know, some form of ancient scaffolding. It was too high. And how could a man rip? I mean, I've seen some guys rip phone books, but the point is, how do you rip a curtain that's this wide from the top to the bottom? And the curtain that he ripped wasn't the shower curtain. It was the Holy of Holies. So no longer would the Holy Spirit dwell inside a temple made by human hands, as was prescribed by the Old Testament. The veil of his flesh was torn, and when the Lamb of God, his flesh was torn, when he died, there was a darkness that went over the earth. There was an earthquake, and that curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place and the altar of incense was torn in two, so you could look right in. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't live inside a tent anymore, doesn't live inside a temple anymore, left to come to dwell inside your heart and my heart as we believe and are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? So the book of Revelation, understand here, let's set this up. I've called this divine partnership. Revelation 5, 6 through 14, you see worship taking place. I'm in the notes now. Look at the text. Heaven's filled with praise. Heaven's filled with worship. 24 elders, each had a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. In verse 8, it says, and he had taken the four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each had a harp. It's an instrument, a stringed instrument. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. It's an unusual way to describe prayer. But that's how it is in the book of Revelation, and apparently that's how it is in heaven. Two things really being fulfilled. The harp represents worship. The incense represents prayer. And the idea is that it's mingled together. And that's what IHOP endeavored to do from these verses. And that's what the fragrance and incense at YWAM endeavored to do. And there's been a movement of prayer and worship that's covered the earth, really. And if you come to our prayer time, I'd encourage you to come. Frequently, we have worship that plays all in the background. We didn't always have that, but we do now. And there's something about that. Don't miss Thursday night, National Day of Prayer, right here. Is going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost on Thursday night, May 5th. May 1st. Thank you. Thanks. Appreciate that. It's making sure. What day? May. Very good. May 3rd. So we're going to take a pause. Go talk amongst yourselves while I look at my own calendar and make sure I got this right, because I want you to come. Okay. Thursday. Come on, you guys. Thursday is May 1st. Who's saying 3rd? You're like in 1989 or something. All right. May 1st. Now, Wednesday night, we'll have regular church, last day of April. Then we'll have 24 hours of prayer right here, and you can be a part of that. You can come. It'll be led by leaders. Then that'll go all the way to Thursday. Then Thursday, the 1st of May, we'll have a service right here at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be amazing. I think there's some churches that are going to be joining us. You don't want to miss that. Worship and prayer is what you see here in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. So incense and prayer is tied together. If you read through Revelation 8, 3 and 4, which we did, an angel with a golden censer. What is that? I grew up going to Catholic church early on, and it was like one of my favorite things to see that priest. Anybody ever seen it? He's got like one of these things where they would like whiz incense back and forth in this cool little gold thing with a chain and everything. That's a censer. You could study where they got that from. I don't know. The Catholics sometimes have some weird ideas about things. That laugh was a recovering Catholic. Incense and prayer is tied together. You'll notice, thirdly, you'll notice that incense went up from the angel's hand, showing that heaven helps bring our prayers. It's like heaven's involved in bringing forth the prayer. I mean, that's amazing. Go to Romans 8. In Romans 8, it says in verse 26, come on, I'm teaching you right now. In the same way, verse 26 of Romans 8, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us. I couldn't help but think about that scripture when I'm seeing this angel with the incense. It's like, I prayed the prayers and it caused the incense to go right to the Lord. And then there's an angel that messes with it, apparently. And then I couldn't help but think about this scripture right here that says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. It's talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that can take the place of praying in your prayer language. You say, I don't have that. Well, you can. Come on, somebody say, you can. What is God saying to us very simply? What has been taking place here, and I do believe, I said it earlier, there's an archetypal blessing. I shared with Dr. Morocco my revelation. I loved his response. He's so Dr. Morocco. I said, you know what I think's happening, Pastor? He said, what? I said, well, every pastor I talk to, and I talk to dozens and dozens of pastors. I have dozens of texts, no exaggeration, with pastors all over America and internationally. And it's just, you know, over the years, you develop friends and people that are in different places and stuff. So everyone I know for Resurrection Sunday, everyone I know, all their churches broke all their records, all of them. All of them just broke. Actually, I heard today one didn't break its record, but that was today. So that was before my little revelation. One anomaly out of dozens and dozens of churches. I believe that because of the change of the administration and the prayers of God's people, that something is taking place in the United States of America, not just in the United States of America. I believe it's happening all over the world. I believe a release of God's power is coming all over the world in a really amazing way, perhaps even ushering us and moving us to the completion of the time of the Gentiles, which I just preached. Now, if I'm shooting over your head, just take notes, go back and study it, listen to the message on the fullness of the Gentiles, and understand what hour you're in. We are closer to his return than when we first believe. It is no longer time to play tiddlywinks, not that it ever was, with Jesus. We're not here playing church. I'm not here on a Wednesday night because somebody told me I had to be here. That's not why we're here. We're here because we love God. We want to hear his word. We want to have fellowship, want to worship him, want to pray, want God to move, want to make incense and see peals of thunder and lightning and answer to prayer. Can I get an amen? Amen. So the church is really what's taking place to me is like this fresh burst of incense is coming up before the throne of God from the church. And when I say church, I don't mean this one, although this would be included. I mean the body of Christ. I mean, his church, universal, church worldwide. Something's happening that is affecting heaven. There's a divine partnership that's taking place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ, triumphal procession, and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. We're a fragrance to the world. My son sent me this prophetic word. He said, Dad, there's this guy who's part of the church. I didn't know who he is. He's not really part of the leadership or anything, but he's like always there. And like I bump into him in these unusual times, and he prophesies over me, and he gave me one of the most accurate words the other day. I'm like, wow. And he told me about it. So a couple of weeks go by, and he's at the beach on his day off with his friend. And he hears this guy praying. It's like there's this white BMW and there's this guy praying, the window's down. And he's like, that's that guy. He has a frequency, a sound for voices. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like he could hear it and he knew that's the quality of that prophetic word. So he yells, hey, is it you? Says the guy's name, Mike. Might as well say it, tell everything else. Hey, Mike, is it you? Mike rolls his window down and it's the guy. It's Mike. Mike unleashes this prophetic word over a bunch of cars, people everywhere. My son pulls his phone out and records the whole thing, and he sent it to me. Listen to this. While he prophesies, he sent me the prophetic word. I judged it. It was fire, accurate word, and a great word of encouragement to my son and to me. Aren't you glad that God speaks to your children? And he said, it was the strangest thing, Dad. I'm like, yeah. He said, yeah, it was strange because one, that guy's like, he's like 50 something and he's like on fire like you. I'm like, yeah, come on, 50 year old, yeah. He's like, no, he's got fire. And when he was doing that, there's all these people coming off the beach and a bunch of like young adults start mocking him. And this one kid comes in front, while he's prophesying, comes in front of his BMW and does the twerk right in front of the BMW. Right in front of it, all this incredible defilement in the midst of this word just thundering. And I thought, oh man, that's exactly how it is. There's such defilement, but in the midst of it, the word of the Lord is being released. We are really a fragrance to a world of decay. I remember showing up on Monday morning after a powerful weekend of church, and I would see these guys who drank all weekend, and every time they'd see me, be like, oh, did you have a good weekend, Bracken? I'm like, dude, it was so fine. Oh my gosh, people got saved. I wouldn't hold anything back. They hated me with a capital H. They all got fired and I got promoted. And that's what'll happen. That's what'll happen if you'll just serve God. People don't like me. They already don't like you. And there's a demonic spirit behind it all. There's an listen, if you're hating on me right now, you have a demon, most likely. Let's lift your hands to heaven and say, praise the Lord, he ain't talking to me. Praise God. I don't know who he's talking to, but that's kind of intense. Someone's got a demon who's hating on pastor. Shut up. How do you know that? Because I know. I've been in services where the power of God's about to be. You're about to get something from God. You're about to receive something from the Lord that you might not have known. And it's going to give you tools to go to the next place, to partner with heaven. You're about to get something. I'm about to give it to you from God's word. And so if the enemy can get you bent out of shape, or all of a sudden you got to take a, like, for God's sake, take a pee later. The smallest bladder in the history of the world. I've got to go to the bathroom. No, you really don't. And there are some exceptions. Where are we? The fragrance of heaven to a world of decay. We're to be a praising, praying community. That's what the church is. I don't know, was I talking to you today about corporate prayer? Who's talking to you? Talking about corporate prayer. I hope some of my friends are on, because I don't know how dumb you can be and breathe. And I can say that because you don't know if I'm talking specifically to you. But if you're being convicted right now, I'm talking to you. I've got some friends, these incredible pastors of churches all over, and they don't have corporate prayer. You've got to be brain damaged. No, we have Friday prayer. It's not enough, slick. Thank God for your Friday prayer. Don't cut that off. But how about add prayer like the New Testament? They gathered daily. How often? Daily. Somebody said we ought to be like the New Testament church and have service every day. We do. You're not at it. It's morning prayer. We have morning prayer. How come? Because if we don't have morning prayer, we certainly ain't going to see the fragrance of heaven released in our lives. We're not going to see the kind of miracles he wants to do, because something happens when we partner with the plan. Am I yelling? Good, because you need to listen to me right now. We partner with heaven. But if you don't pray, then you're not partnered, hooked up with him in any way he wants you to be. He was the Lord's just going to do it. That's totally unbiblical. He partners. He co-labors. Certain things he's just going to do. Other things he looks to you. Almost sounds like a poem. Some people are so upset by all the things that happen in life. You can see it on their face. And I understand that. I got called by someone today who we lost someone from the church today, and I'm gonna miss him. I don't know that the whole family knows, so I'm not gonna tell you who that is just yet. So I called his mother. When I talked to his mother was, she's probably 80, and she went off. She prophesied over me. She's like, what you're doing there is changing the world. You know, it's changing the nation. Oh, God's using you. She went on and on and on, and it was like God just broke into my heart, and I began to weep. I called to pray for her. She's praying for me, and Karen is weeping. I'm weeping. And we were overwhelmed. She said, I visited your church with my son, and God's power touched me so strong on that place. You will never know what happened to me at your church has carried me to the day that I'm here now, all this period of time later. And if it wasn't for your church, you just keep preaching. You just keep praying. You just keep doing what you're doing. God's using you. God's using you. And I thought, I called to encourage this lady. She's praying and prophesying over me, and I'm weeping. That's what the church should be, a praising, praying community that connects. So many people do life alone. You don't have to be broken. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to do life alone. You're not designed to do it alone. You're designed to do it as a part of a community of faith right here. And so many people, they try to live their lives without a church. Try to live their lives outside of covenant. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I am absolutely 100% confident that there is not one thing that I will go through the rest of my life that I won't go right through it with the grace of God, the power of God, the love of the church, the love of people, staying in community, staying in covenant. I am not alone. Behind me are hundreds of years and prayers of the saints. I'm not worried about what the devil can do. He's on the run. I bind him now. I'm going to stand at the covering of God's love, God's grace, God's power. Incense is rising before the throne, and we will see a fragrance released in the earth. You must see the importance of prayer. And we don't. Otherwise, hitting 100 people at EMP would be easy. EMP stands for early morning prayer. Sometimes I only see people in prayer when there's problems. And I understand you're praying when you're in your car, you can't make it because of work. I mean, I get all of that, but you must have a time where you come before him, because if you don't, then you will limit God's movement in your life. And it's theologically proven here and in many other places. It's of great value to God, seen by this golden altar. Bowls of incense, golden censers, everything tied. Everything is tied to the prayers of the saints. No, seriously, go look at this text. Everything is tied. What do you mean everything's tied? The whole thing is tied to prayer. Is it that important? Apparently, it is. Somebody asked me, how are you guys doing what you're doing? How are you growing the way you're growing? How are things happening? How is that happening? I used to say, I don't know. You know, I'm humbled by it all. I was talking to a brother who was during worship. I'm just so blown away by the goodness of God. I can't hardly handle it. I said, are you serious? Yes. This is me quenching that. Otherwise, I'll just sit here and weep. He's so good. And he's so real. And yet he sees us as important. You're important to God. The prayers you pray do something. I mean, this whole thing's tied to the prayers of the saints. Before things happen, prayer goes up. Jacob's ladder, when you go look at Jacob's ladder, and then Jesus said it's basically fulfilled in him. Jacob has his dream in this place. He has he's there and he sees this ladder coming from the earth to the heaven, and the angels ascending and descending. And he says, this is none other than the house of God. Jesus ties that directly into him being the house of God. And he says to one of the disciples, he says, you're amazed by that? You will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, talking about him being the ladder, him being the way, him being the truth. He's the one, because of his blood, we can boldly come before the throne of grace and find help in time of need. But so many people don't come before him. They don't come before him, even though he shed his blood so you can have access. And literally things won't happen in the earth unless people pray. Now don't take that all the way, because he's ultimately in charge of things, but there is this co-laboring. Before things happen, prayer goes up. It seems that judgments are held or released as we pray. It's not just autopilot. There is a responsibility we have. Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, all you his angels, you his mighty ones, who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4,
Yerama Kalalaboy Shadea, Alalama Brahma Maya,
Daniel. You are God and there is no other. You are God and God alone. Here, just pray. I'll be back. I'm not texting someone. Okay. Daniel 4 and verse 17. What's taking place here is this revelation about a judgment that's coming to Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17 in the New International Version, it says this decision. What decision? The decision of the judgment on Nebuchadnezzar is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over all the kingdoms of the earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets them over the lowest of people. Messengers, if you go and study that, it's most likely messenger or watcher. It's an angel. It's a supernatural being. So again, the decision is announced by the messengers. Now, I just read you Psalm 103. So the decision is announced by who? Messengers. It's angels. Okay. So there's still angels today. Absolutely. They're in fact here. We know theologically they're here. Lots of scripture for that. They look in on the things of salvation. The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict. Now, there's a couple different ways to look at this. And as I did a deep dive on it not all that long ago, I heard it preached and have preached it myself, that both messengers or watchers or angels and holy ones would relate to hagios in the Greek, meaning saints. However, I believe that is inaccurate. I have taught it that way before, but I don't believe that's not where I stand today. Because I believe that both actually are watchers, angels, hagios, holy ones, also just the way the word is used here in the Old Testament is also angels, perhaps different kinds of angels. But understand, please watch the bouncing ball. Pay close attention here. The judgment on the Nebuchadnezzar, that he would have 12 months, there's always a grace before a judgment, is decreed by the watchers and by the verdict by the holy ones, also watchers, different angels perhaps, but understand this, that no one has harmed the Jews, I think we can say that, more than Nebuchadnezzar. He hammered Israel, destroyed the temple, and I think there was a cry that went up before God. And I'm telling you that something has happened in the world because of this LGBTQ+, the insanity of castrating children and destroying women and destroying men. There has been an outcry where there's enough people that believe in a holy God and enough people that have faith that just began to raise their voices. And I think that something shifted. And as a result, Trump got elected because he was going to back what I think we prayed. And we need to pray for him. We need to pray against assassination. But I'm telling you, we are entering into a moment that maybe we've never been in. And if we will just turn up the incense, throw more incense on, press in over the next 6 months, there's going to be a release of God's power that we have perhaps never seen before. There's something new. There's something new on worship. And on Wednesday, it's new, something fresh, something clean. I feel it. It's like a strife is gone. We were talking about it. There's a freedom. I mean, it's 8:43, and most of you don't really care, but we need to care because of the children's workers. Evangelists should just rip on and let everybody figure it out, but I want to make sure you come back, and I'm sure you will. I also want to be sensitive to everybody working on Wednesday. Prayer is the engine driving, listen to this, prayer is the engine driving the plan of God toward completion. So if you don't put yourself in it, then you're not going to be actually active releasing incense with the partnership of God for your own life. Prayer is the most important thing you can do. Oh, all we can do now is pray. What kind of stupidity is that? All we can do now? That's the main thing we should be doing. And it's crazy because you'll pray and you'll release incense and you'll call out your decree, you'll declare, and literally angels move according to God's word. So if you pray scripture, then watchers are released. Think about it that way. So we might not be the holy ones in this particular instance, although we are New Testament holy ones, saints. You don't have to get voted in hagios. You're made holy by what? By the blood. So it's not related to that. I think that's a stretch. But it is not a stretch to say that the people, the Jews, cried out, God, deal with Nebuchadnezzar. And then something happened and he became a werewolf and he became a believer. I believe that God's people are being quickened, being awakened, and that there's a cry coming from the earth that's never come before. I believe there's a cry being released among the young and the old and seniors alike. I believe there's a cry of God's intervention in the earth. People are sick and tired. Drugs aren't satisfying them. Relationships aren't satisfying them. Only God can satisfy you. Only God can heal you. Only God can set you free. Only God can deliver you. Only God can take away the cloud and the perversion. Only God can lift the scales from your eyes. Only God can really, truly heal the human heart, for he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in the heart of flesh. He's calling on his people to arise in their God-given blood-bought right. He's calling on people to pray. He's calling on people to fast. He's calling on people. Come on, the devil is on the ropes. In fact, he's already been defeated. But you must exercise your authority. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. Let God fill you full of holy fire. Let God use you like an incense carrier, a golden censer. Let God use you to release the word of the Lord. And then I tell you that angels will be released and miracles will be released. And they'll come an open heaven and people will come in droves. I see them coming from the north. I see them coming from the south. I see them coming from every walk of life. Who is this coming out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Who is this leaning on her beloved? It's the body of Christ. It's the church, beautiful and adorned with a crown of 12 stones or whatever that is, book of Revelation, a picture of apostolic authority, a crown of stars on her head, 12 stars. There's apostolic authority that's being released. It is not church as usual. The time has come. The time has come to call on his name. The time has come to not sit and cow down to the assignment of the enemy. Begin to rise up in your God-given blood-bought authority and push the enemy out of your mind. Push him out of your home. Push him out of your marriage. Push him out of the schools. Push the enemy out of the highways and byways. Bring the power of the kingdom of God. Take a stand. Yes, you're going to have people that twerk in front of you and do all that stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, God's power will be upon you in such a way that you don't care what they say about you, even when you're delivered to the courts, even when you're delivered before before them. Don't worry about what you'll say in that hour, because I will put my words, the word of God said, I will put my words in your mouth and you will speak. I will be that judge of double-edged sword, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. I'll release my word through you and to you. I will take care of your enemies, and I will be an enemy to your enemies. I'll be an adversary to your adversary. The blessing of God is being poured out upon a people who say yes. The blessing of God is being poured out upon a people who will pray and decree and proclaim and not back up, not shut up, not quit. I have called you, says the Lord. I called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I am decreeing my plan over you. Join in. Partner with me. I will do so much more if you will pray. Yes! Woo! We say yes.
We say yes.
Divine partnership with the intercessors of the world, releasing angels. Say
yes.
Come on, a moment longer.
We say yes.
We say yes.
We say yes.
Yes.
We say yes, Lord.
Go ahead and talk to the Lord. No substitute for being under the hammer of the word. It brings breakthrough. I prophesy over every single person that'll take this and apply it. Unprecedented miracles and breakthrough. And I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about this week. This week. Begin to lift your voice. Don't have to be pretty. You don't have to pray in Elizabethan English. Call out to God. Ask him to help you with that bondage you're struggling with. Your bondage you're struggling with when compared to the holiness and the purity and the beauty of Almighty God. The bondage that gives you some ease of comfort will pale in comparison to the eyes that burn like fire. With hair as white as wool. The king is in the land. The king is in the land. The king is in the land. Crooked places be straight. Crooked places be straight. Every mountain be brought low. The king is in the land. 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 Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes. The king is in the land. The king is in the land. Crooked places be made straight. Expose all corruption in Palmer, in Wasilla. The king is in the land. Let righteousness come upon us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will heal their land. I will forgive their sin. What an intense service. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise all across the place. You know, there's something here. There's something here, and I don't want to let up on it. Can you take this? I don't want to let up on it. Just a moment longer. I don't know what you're facing that's an injustice, but I feel it in the room. I want you to take your prophetic finger out. Now, if you're not right with God, repent. I'll give you a second. Go ahead and do it. You know you were a jerk today. Repent. I'm all repented up. Now you take your place. Come on. Put 2 feet side by side. Actually, sometimes I like getting after it a little bit. Take whatever posture of attack. Quit being a defensive Christian. Oh, God, the devil, oh, the devil. The devil's afraid of you. You got the blood. Quit belly aching and rise up in your authority. How many of you got some injustice? You need God's favor to deal with the Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody else besides me? You need God's favor to intervene in your life. Then you take your finger and you right now, like your word matters. I love what God said to Reinhard Bonnke. Right, he said this. The Lord said to Reinhard Bonnke, he said, my word in your mouth is the same as my word in my mouth. So go ahead and speak my word and it'll be like me speaking. God's word in your mouth is the same as it coming out of his if you're living holy and right and covered in the blood. Begin to exercise that authority now. Point to that Nebuchadnezzar. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody ripped you off, deal gone bad, problem with the in-laws, problem with the brother, problem with, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know. But take your finger, those of you that have those problems, and never forget it, that you've got power and authority. Exercise that right now and command all darkness to be broken. Come on, say it. I command all darkness, every Nebuchadnezzar type activity, be broken now in Jesus' name. Everything that's trying to hold back the plan of God in my life, be thou removed and cast into the sea. I command all darkness to cease and desist. I evict demonic intruders that are on top of my promises. I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus. I prophesy this place paid off. Oh, pray big prayers right now. Pray big prayers right now. Big, big, big. Turn it loose right now. In the name of Jesus. Ah, yes. In the name of Jesus, release miracles. Clap and shout to God like you just did it all. Come on, his credit's good. Just thank him. Come on, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Woo! Yes! Victory in Christ! Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't ever want to close the service without doing this. If you're not right with God, don't leave this place. In that condition, give your heart to Christ for the first time. Make a recommitment. If you drifted, you say, that's me, Pastor, online, here in this great church sanctuary. You say, that's me. On the count of three, slip your hand up. One, want to get right with God. First time, a recommitment. Two, you believe that Jesus died on a cross. On the third day, he rose again. You want to be forgiven. You want heaven, your home, and you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You're going to live for him from this day forward. If that's you, one, two, three, do it right now. God bless you. God bless you. Right on. What's up? God's got a great plan for you, son. God bless you. I see that hand. Raise your hand high. I don't want to miss anybody. God bless you. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Raise your hand high. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to pray for you. Good-looking kid in the hat. Come here. Yeah, you. Yep. Lift your hands to Jesus. All across this place, everybody pray this prayer, including you. You raised your hand. I know I saw. Close your eyes. Everybody pray this prayer. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Come on, right out loud. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die in my place. I believe he rose again from the grave for me. And I give you my life tonight. I repent of all my sin. I receive you. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.